40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The field is now set for the Final Four in the U.S. Men's College Basketball Championship Tournament after weekend action. The University of North Carolina is the only top seed remaining. The Tar Heels of North Carolina, bidding for a sixth national title, topped the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame Sunday, 88-74 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This marks a record-extending 19th Final Four appearance for North Carolina. Our VOA basketball fans will remember superstar Michael Jordan helped the Tar Heels win the 1982 national title. With 17 seconds left in the championship game, Jordan connected on a jump shot to lift North Carolina to a 63-62 victory over Georgetown University of Washington, D.C. I'm sure Michael Jordan will be cheering for North Carolina on April 2nd when they play Syracuse University of New York in one of the semifinal games. Syracuse, the 2003 national champion, stunned Virginia Sunday in Philadelphia, rallying from a 16-point second-half deficit to win 68-62. The Orange of Syracuse are the first 10th-seeded team to advance to the Final Four in tournament history. In the other semifinal on April 2nd, Villanova, based in Philadelphia, will play Oklahoma. The second-seeded Wildcats of Villanova beat top-seeded Kansas 64-59 on Saturday, while the Sooners of Oklahoma, also a number 2 seed, defeated top-seeded Oregon 80-68. Once again, the matchups in the Final Four on April 2nd in Houston, Texas, Villanova versus Oklahoma, followed by Syracuse against North Carolina. The winners will advance to the national championship game on April 4th in Houston. Meanwhile, the women's national championship game will be played one day later on April 5th in Indianapolis, Indiana. Syracuse's women's team also reached the Final Four, beating Tennessee Sunday 89-67. The University of Washington's women's team also made it to the Final Four with an 85-76 win over Stanford. The final two berths will be decided after games later Monday night. Baylor will battle Oregon State, and Texas will take on unbeaten Connecticut, which is bidding for a fourth consecutive national women's title and record-extending 11th overall. The Huskies of Connecticut are led by power forward center Brianna Stewart, who has been named National Women's Player of the Year the past two seasons. Let's take a short break now for this important message from a Congolese giant who played for Georgetown University in the U.S. Men's College Basketball Championship Tournament.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
You need to get to the net, thanks to Dikembe. And here's another reminder for VOA basketball fans. Dikembe Mutombo was officially enshrined last year in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Turning to professional basketball, The defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors look in fine form ahead of the upcoming NBA playoffs. The Warriors won their league-leading 66th game of the season Sunday when they beat the visiting Philadelphia 76ers 117-105. Golden State's dynamic backcourt of Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry combined for 60 points. Thompson scored 40 points in consecutive games for the first time in his career, while Curry had 20 points and 8 assists. In addition, Golden State's versatile forward Draymond Green contributed 13 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists. In Sunday's other NBA results, the Los Angeles Clippers clinched a playoff berth with a 105-90 victory over the visiting Denver Nuggets. The Sacramento Kings defeated the Dallas Mavericks 133-111. The Indiana Pacers defused the Houston Rockets 104-101. And my beloved Washington Wizards, whose playoff chances look bleak right now, began a big West Coast road trip with a 101-88 victory over the host Los Angeles Lakers. The Wizards are 2.5 games behind the Detroit Pistons, who hold the final playoff spot right now in the NBA's Eastern Conference. The Wizards have 9 games left in the regular season, and they'll need some magical performances to make it to the postseason. By the way, the crowd in Los Angeles on Sunday chanted, "We want Kobe! We want Kobe!" throughout the fourth quarter. Kobe Bryant sat during the final period, though, and finished with 17 points in 23 minutes on the court. The Lakers superstar is retiring at the end of this season, his 20th in the NBA. Kobe and the Lakers have only 4 more home games this season, which is shaping up as possibly the club's worst since they moved to Los Angeles 56 years ago. The Lakers have a record of 15 wins and 58 losses.
You ask for it and we answer it. The Sunny Side of Sports is expanding our showtime on VOA Africa.
Voice of America.
I heard the voice of America calling on my wavelength. Man was coming out of Frankfurt, I made. I heard the voice of America calling on my wavelength. Singing, come back.
The countdown continues for the Rio Olympics in Brazil in August. Remember, VOA Olympic fans, the opening ceremony for the multi-sports extravaganza will be August 5th at the Maracanã Stadium in Rio de Janeiro. Ben Nichols is a spokesman for the World Anti-Doping Agency in Montreal, Canada. My VOA colleague Jeffrey Young asked him about the agency's monitoring efforts ahead of the games.
Well, we addressed that through our World Anti-Doping Code, our revised code, which came into play last year. That includes stronger and longer sanctions for first-time offenders. It includes a greater emphasis on investigations to catch cheats, not just scientific analysis. So we're talking about testimonies and whistleblowing. It includes a new approach to testing where every sport and country have to conduct what we call a risk assessment so that they can advise which substances are being abused by athletes in their particular sport, depending on the physiological requirements of that sport. It includes rules that focus on the athlete support personnel, the entourage, so we can now bring to account coaches and doctors who want to help athletes cheat. So we have all these tools at our disposal, but the key is that they have to be practiced properly by all our signatories, and we have around 670 sports and national anti-doping agencies worldwide that have to do these programs. So we monitor them. We have a compliance system in place so that if we're not satisfied with how they are testing their athletes, how they are practicing their rules, we can users' compliance system to ensure that they are held to account. So we are a quality watchdog, and we have a constant duty to ensure they practice these rules so that dirty athletes are not going to Rio.
And then, of course, there's also one other aspect, and that is wagering. Wagering is much like investing. You do a bit of due diligence. Before you put a bet down on something, you look into the team or the player or whatever the case may be, and you make a risk assessment, and you make an assessment as to whether or not your bet is going to be a fair bet and based on fair grounds. Now, I realize that you're not in the business of making the world safe for betting. That's not the point. But the point of it is, as we well know, that betting is monstrous. The last World Cup, the handle on that was over $1 billion, according to many sources. So this is reality, okay? And it would seem to me, just as a reporter asking questions of you, that people who are involved in wagering obviously would like to be able to think that the wager is going down on something that they believe to be straight. So it's a matter of confidence. Any comments?
Yes, we're aware that betting, the sports betting industry, is a huge industry. And what I would say to that is we're also aware that some people who are helping the athletes cheat behind the scenes because they're aware of how profitable sport can be if that athlete succeeds, these are the same people who might be carrying out illegal betting, who might be helping fix matches. So there is a, if we like, that in sport today, there is a criminal underworld at play here, knowing how much money is at stake for athletes to succeed. We're alert to it. That is not within our mandate, obviously, but we cover the doping, the performance enhancement substances side of sports integrity. But we're very alert to this increasing and creeping trend of cheating in sport and undercutting sports governance and sport as we know it. So we are certainly alert to it.
What else should Voice of America's audience know and understand about the issue of doping in sport and the role of WADA?
Well, I think it's important to know that over 17 years ago, there was no WADA. There was no global watchdog for anti-doping in sport. Before WADA, in different sports, in different countries, an athlete who had taken a substance would be treated differently. You might have an athlete in one country taking a substance who might be banned for a year or two, and in another country, that athlete wouldn't face much of a ban at all. So what we have done very successfully, I should add, is bring consistency to anti-doping worldwide. We face continual challenges. We're not so naive to think we have fully done our job, but we are evolving as a company. We're evolving as an industry. We brought fairness and consistency to sport worldwide, and we continue to evolve with our rules, with our partners, and we need no further reminder of the important job we have when we read in our newspapers and our television bulletins of doping scandals. We are aware that we have a duty to ensure sport is as fair and as clean as it can be.
That's Ben Nichols, a spokesman for the World Anti-Doping Agency. And Ben was talking with my VOA colleague, Jeffrey Young, from Montreal, Canada. Now let's go to Kenya, where refugees from other African countries are training at a special camp and competing for a limited number of slots in the Rio Games in August under the flag of the International Olympic Committee. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to a report from Lenny Ruvaga in Ngong.
20 kilometers from Kenya's capital, Nairobi, sits Ngong, where today a select group of athletes is training for a chance to run in the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, this August. The athletes, who number around 30, are all refugees from various war-torn countries in Africa. They're training at the Tegla Lerupe Training Center for Refugee Athletes. 20-year-old Rose Nadike from South Sudan is one such athlete. She runs the 800 and 1,500 meters. For the last 16 years, Nadike has been living at the Kakuma refugee camp in northwestern Kenya, along with her siblings. The huge camp hosts about 200,000 refugees from Eritrea, Congo, South Sudan, Somalia, Ethiopia, Uganda, and Rwanda. Nafika says life in the camp is hard.
Before we came here, we had been facing a lot of challenges due to the hot weather in Kakuma, and the place is too dry. that we cannot able to stay, but we adapt the situation where you are.
Now she and the other athletes in Ngong train twice a day, beginning each session with 45 minutes of warm-up exercises before starting their workouts. Dawood Abubakar fled Somalia in 1998. He's been training at the camp for the last 5 months and hopes to run in the Olympics 5,000 and 10,000 meter races. He says the chance to compete under the Olympic flag and the training camp itself have improved his prospects.
You know, when we were in the camps, you don't get time. But now most of us, we are improving time. We have got good time. We have got good coaches. You know, the way that you train, when you are in the camps, you can't train the way that you want. You are alone, just you go and you come back. But here we get coaches.
With the help of national Olympic committees, the International Olympic Committee is identifying a select few refugee athletes for the Games. Kipchoge Keino, a two-time Olympic gold medalist himself, chairs the Kenyan Olympic Committee. He told VOA there will be high standards for qualification.
The training is going to be very hard. You might find some training with our athletes in some of our training camps. And this is the most important. We want to encourage them, those talented, to be able to perform well.
In a few months, some of these athletes may make history by running in Rio under the flag of the IOC. Lenny Rovaga for VOA News, Ngong, Kenya.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Our Voice of America listeners will remember Paul Tergat won two Olympic silver medals for Kenya at 10,000 meters at the 1996 Atlanta Games here in the United States and the 2000 Sydney Games in Australia. In 2005, I had the pleasure of meeting Paul at our VOA headquarters a few days after he won the New York City Marathon. Paul is a big coffee drinker, and one of my main memories of that meeting was him asking me, "I'm dying for a cup of coffee. Are there any coffee shops around here?" And I quickly pointed Paul in the direction of a nearby Starbucks. Turning to African football, here's a story that's percolating from Kenya. The Kenyans could face sanctions from the Confederation of African Football, CAF, after a riot that stopped play for more than 30 minutes in Nairobi on Sunday. Police fired tear gas to disperse angry fans after a 1-0 home loss to Guinea-Bissau in a 2017 Africa Cup of Nations qualifier. The trouble started when the visitors grabbed a late lead on a disputed Sanchez-Semedo goal. The fans and players on the Harambee Stars of Kenya believe the ball did not cross the line. Zimbabwean referee Norman Matamela awarded the winning goal to Guinea-Bissau in the 81st minute, and that set off furious protests. Kenyan fans threw stones and other objects at the Guinea-Bissau bench and at the fourth official on the sidelines. The loss leaves the Kenyans with little chance of qualifying for next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Gabon. Meanwhile, CAF has penalized Chad for withdrawing from Nations Cup qualifying. Mark Ouma has that story as well as scores from the weekend.
Chad has withdrawn from this Nations Cup contest, the Confederation of African Football, CAF, revealed in Cairo, Egypt on Sunday. In accordance with competition rules, CAF fines Chad $20,000 and bans them from the 2019 Nations Cup. Hosts Mozambique and Ghana drew 0-0 in Maputo in 2017 Orange Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers on Sunday. Elsewhere, Benin beat South Sudan 4-1. Botswana edged the Comoro Islands 2-1 as Republic of Congo and Zambia drew 1-1. On Saturday, Seychelles dismissed Lesotho 2-0 as Mauritius pipped Rwanda Rwanda 1-0. Namibia beat Burundi 3-1. Cameroon and South Africa drew 2-2. Morocco pipped Cape Verde Islands 1-0. Senegal dismissed Niger 2-0. The Democratic Republic of Congo edged Angola 2-1. And Burkina Faso pipped Uganda 1-0. Earlier on Friday, African champions Ivory Coast pipped Sudan 1-0. Swaziland and Zimbabwe drew 1-1. Mauritania pipped Gambia 2-1. Guinea and Malawi drew 0-0. Tunisia edged Togo 1-0. Algeria mauled Ethiopia 7-1. Mali pipped Equatorial Guinea 1-0 as Nigeria and Egypt drew 1-1.
Thanks, Mark. That's Mark Ouma with the Nations Cup qualifying results. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be with you.
Andrew, what's trending in the sports world on this Monday?
Well, we are down to the final four in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. We have UNC is going to take on Syracuse, and Oklahoma is going to take on Villanova. One of those two teams, UNC or Syracuse, is going to make it to the final. Oklahoma or Villanova is going to make it to the final. We just don't know who yet. But all these teams have interesting kind of social media stories going for them.
Okay.
Syracuse was down by double digits in their game against Virginia in the Elite Eight and came back to win.
Great comeback.
Great comeback. And people are saying this is one of the marquee moments, not only of this year's NCAA tournament, but of NCAA tournaments past as well. Coming back, scoring that victory, and making their trip to the Final Four is only the fourth double-digit seed to make it to the Final Four. Ever.
I watched a little bit of that game, Andrew, and I think one of the keys was the Syracuse coach, Jim Boeheim. He was playing, he had a zone defense going against Virginia. They did a press that really seemed to baffle Virginia.
Yeah, and on social media, we saw the videos where it said, this is how you turn a 15-point deficit into a trip to the Final Four. And they kind of spliced together the best of, you know, moments for Syracuse. Another nice video that I saw was some of the players filming and coaches filming as the game ended, rushing onto the court to celebrate. And so you're getting kind of their perspective through social media, and you're seeing what they're seeing as they're running onto the court and celebrating. So that's very cool for Syracuse. They're going to have a lot to handle, though, with UNC making their 19th trip to the Final Four.
Record. I think that's a record.
I believe it is a record. Yeah. So record 19th trip to the Final Four for those two teams, or for UNC, and those two teams will face off. On the other side, Oklahoma, Buddy Hield is the big story. Buddy Hield is the star for Oklahoma, has been a star all through this year. And at this game that they just played, where they beat Oregon, he had an amazing performance, 37
37,
points.
37, wow.
And they asked him afterwards, they said, well, why did you have such a standout game? And he said, well, I had to perform because Kobe Bryant was in the house. And Kobe Bryant was indeed at the game. Now, Buddy Hield wears number 24. Kobe Bryant wears number 24. There's a lot of respect that Buddy Hield has for him. He said he's one of his heroes. And some very cool pictures they got to meet before the game and take some photos, post those on social media. Kobe Bryant said that he thinks that Hield had a heck of a game, is a heck of a player. Hield, for his part, says, I'm no Kobe Bryant. I just go out there and make my shots.
I think we're going to see Buddy Hield in the NBA, Andrew. I mean, he's got a great – what a shooter. In fact, another name we've mentioned before on the program, Stephen Curry. Some people are comparing Hield to Curry for his marksmanship.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That comparison's being made again and again on social media, whether it's comparing Hield and Kobe Bryant, Hield and Steph Curry. He's getting a lot of attention on social media, and especially now that his team, Oklahoma, is into the Final Four, there's going to be even more attention. I've seen some people posting saying, well, there's no way that they can stop Villanova can stop Oklahoma. They're as good as in the final. We'll see if that happens because, as you know, there are a lot of upsets. Case in point, Syracuse is in the Final Four. But even, you know, some media outlets and sports writers saying Oklahoma is under Buddy Hield's power and his marksmanship, like you said, is going to make a trip to the big dance in the final. If they do, it'll be interesting. I think Buddy Hield either way is going to probably be in the NBA or at least test the waters to see if he's going to go off to the NBA.
The Tar Heels of North Carolina, the only top seed remaining, Andrew, and I must point out, your Jayhawks of Kansas are not in the Final Four.
It was a very disappointing evening on Saturday night to watch the Jayhawks go down, but they put up a good fight and We'll see what happens next year, hopefully. But a lot of optimism from the Jayhawk Nation in Kansas on social media saying, well, we're going to just push on to next year and hope we can continue and build and make it to the final and then win.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And we'll see you on Tuesday.
Sounds good.
And that wraps up the March 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Marty Curcius, and thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On World Water Day, March 22nd, the U.S. government, through the United States Agency for International Development, USAID, launched USAID Lowland Wash, a new water, sanitation, and hygiene activity to support the government of Ethiopia's One Wash national program in pastoral areas of Afar, Somali, and Southern Nations, Nationalities, and Peoples regions. The new activity will increase the availability of improved, sustainable drinking water sources, increase access to better sanitation products and services, catalyze enhanced sanitation and hygiene behaviors, and build capacity for enhanced knowledge and data management, while also expanding sustainable water use for agriculture. In the near term, the activity will help respond to the current drought while working to build long-term resilience by helping communities to better manage and use their water resources. Given the magnitude of the current drought, the activity will prioritize well rehabilitation in acutely affected Cabelas. This, in addition to the nearly $10 million in humanitarian aid that the U.S. is providing to improve access to safe drinking water, rehabilitate water systems and sanitation infrastructure, and provide relief items like hygiene kits and water containers. Ethiopia has made dramatic strides over the last 15 years to increase access to improved water and sanitation. Speaking ahead of the launch, Christian Holmes, Global Water Coordinator for USAID, highlighted the importance of the work the new activity will undertake. Safe water and sanitation is what enables a child to grow, learn, and rise out of poverty. It is what keeps communities healthy. USAID's lead partner, AECOM International Development, will implement the $23.8 million activity in cooperation with CARE USA and the International Rescue Committee. Water is life, and the United States is proud to partner with Ethiopia in developing this essential resource for the benefit of all the people of Ethiopia.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at voanews.com/editorials.
Let's talk. Social media. Are you a participant? Do you have an online account? Has it affected your life? Join host Sunday Shumari and his guests discussing social media. This lighthearted show covers topics of your interest. Let's Talk comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa. Next on Straight Talk Africa. We will talk about the empowerment of women. Is it a myth or reality? Tune in to Straight Talk Africa Wednesday at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
When news is happening, VOA Africa is there.
Mohamed Yusuf of VOA News, Nairobi.
Victor Beatty, VOA News, Washington.
Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Joba.
Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
VOA correspondents take you right to the center of events as they're happening. And this is where you hear it all on VOA Africa.